Donald Trump is not a conservative. There, I said it. Hello, everybody. I'm Todd Stearns. Welcome to the podcast. We're going to be talking about some issues today that are really going to ruffle some feathers with the Donald Trump followers. But we need to talk about these issues in public. I know everybody's been talking about it behind closed doors and in hushed voices, whispers. They don't want to rile up the Trump supporters. Any of you folks that have been following me on Facebook and Twitter, you know that this is like a mob with the pitchforks and the torches. You say anything critical about Donald Trump and they come after you. So I want to talk about some things. First of all, I have been from day one writing things that are praising Donald Trump, that have been critical of Donald Trump. I've been doing the same thing for Ted Cruz. John Kasich, he doesn't matter. He's irrelevant. But unless you pledge your allegiance and your life, unless you hold your hand in the air and take the pledge and promise to follow Donald Trump until the ends of the earth, then you're classified as a liberal or an establishment Republican. People have actually told me that I'm a Republican, establishment Republican. I mean, these people are so stupid, they don't even bother to read. If they had bothered to read, they would have realized that your friendly neighborhood podcast host had left the Republican Party. Because I'm tired of all the nonsense. I'm tired of all the promises, the broken promises. But Donald Trump is out there saying he's a conservative. He actually, if you listen to his rhetoric, he would have you believe that he is a greater Christian than Billy Graham himself. The truth is that Donald Trump has rewritten what it means, redefined what it means to be a conservative in America. He has redefined what it means to be a Christian. And sadly, many people have allowed him to do that. Let's be honest. Conservatives are going through a rough patch right now, folks. Families are literally divided over these issues. The Republican Party is imploding. And many people have been deceived, in part due to a number of conservative journalists and pundits, and I'm not going to name names. I don't want to give these people any publicity. But many of them have chosen to abandon principle for a paycheck. And they have tried to convince you that Donald Trump is a conservative of the gun-toting, Bible-clinging variety. And in doing so, I believe they've just sold their soul to a man who is anything but a conservative. And I want to bring your attention to a couple of issues. This just happened most recently, and we're going to get into this a little bit later in the podcast, but this transgender bathroom bill. Boy, this thing has exploded all over the country. This is the cultural issue of the day. And Donald Trump was on the Today Show on NBC. And he said that people who are transgender should be able to use whatever bathroom they want. Now, understand what Donald Trump is saying here. Because the laws would allow men who identify as women to use the bathroom with your little 8-year-old girl or your grandmother or your wife. Now, Ted Cruz, Senator Cruz, put out a statement. He addressed this issue, and I want to read from this email that came earlier. He says, Donald Trump is no different from politically correct leftist elites. Today, he joined them in calling for grown men to be allowed to use little girls' public restrooms. As the dad of young daughters, I dread what this will mean for our daughters and for our sisters and our wives. It is a reckless policy that will endanger our loved ones. And yet Donald Trump supports this policy. Unbelievable. And yet at this very moment, there are conservative pundits out there, conservative journalists out there trying to convince us that Donald Trump didn't say what he said on the Today Show. But this is not tolerance. And we'll get into that in just a little bit later. And then, again, the pro-life issue. Now, I know pro-lifers have already had issues with Donald Trump over his previous statements about wanting to punish women who have abortions, and that got walked back. Well, now, in that same interview, Donald Trump says that he wants to change the party platform on pro-life issues. This is incredible. This is Donald Trump, the conservative here. Now, March for Life and a number of other pro-life organizations have already put out statements. March for Life says that weakening the pro-life platform would set back years of hard work in the pro-life movement. This is the man. This is the man that would have us believe he is a conservative. Certainly not a cultural conservative. So I want to say this, and I want you to listen very closely to what I'm about to say. You may not agree with everything that comes out of my mouth, but at least you know where I stand on the issues. Now, I don't care about the rancor, don't care about the rhetoric. I just call it the way I see it. And I want you to know something. I am now, and I have always been, a conservative. I am a Christian man. I answer to the Almighty and not the almighty dollar. And that's what I want to say about that. Be very careful, folks. Be very careful where you get your news and your information from. And I try my very best to provide you with the latest information, the latest updates on what's happening in the war on religious liberty. And I've got to tell you something. I'm very concerned by some of the things that are coming out of the Trump campaign these days. Very concerned. So let me tell you about Kurt Schilling. If you haven't heard the news, Kurt Schilling got fired from ESPN, and it's all about this transgender thing. Folks, I'm telling you, this is going to revolutionize the country almost as much as gay marriage did. This is going to be a big deal. Communities all across the country are dealing with this very issue in their public schools. The Obama administration's Department of Education, they're telling these local communities, unless you implement these transgender policies, we will pull your funding. That's why it's happening in such small, obscure towns. It's not by chance. It's because the federal government is stepping in and they are trying to bully and threaten and intimidate these communities into opening up their bathrooms and their locker rooms to transgender folks. So that brings us to Kurt Schilling. So Kurt Schilling, just like many other folks, is very concerned about this idea of letting grown men into bathrooms with girls. And it really has nothing to do with transgender people. It has to do with people who would take advantage of that, who are not transgender people, but are like perverts looking to do something very wrong and illegal, inappropriate in the ladies' room. Because as the rules are, anybody can go in as long as they say they are transgender. They may not be transgender, but it doesn't matter. As long as they say they are, they can enter those facilities. So anyway, Kurt Schilling posted something online. I think it was on Facebook, and he got in trouble for it. And you can read my column at toddstearns.com. It's sort of takes you through what happened here. But ESPN, they said, you know what? That is unacceptable. Having that kind of an opinion is unacceptable in our company. And so they fired him. Gave him the heave-ho. I cannot think of a better person in America to talk about this and to weigh in on this than my good friend Jeff Katz, who actually worked in Boston and was one of the first stations, radio stations, to pick up my commentary. Jeff is now in Richmond, Virginia, and he's on the line with us. Jeff Katz, what's going on, man?
Well, it's, as always, great to hear your voice. You sound wonderful, and I'm proud that I was one of the first to put you where you rightly deserved on a national stage.
You know, I mean, I can't imagine how many liberals we sent to therapy over the years that we did mornings together.
Yeah, if we could only have about, what, 10% of the fees, I think we'd be retired by now.
Well, we are in radio.
That's right.
So look, before we get into this Curt Schilling thing, tell us what you're doing in Richmond, Virginia.
I am doing the afternoon show on News Radio 1140 WRVA. We're a major station in the central part of Virginia, all the way from Richmond
up to
D.C.
Yeah, that's a huge station, a huge station that doesn't carry my commentary yet, Jeff. We got to do something about that.
I will once again walk into the program director's office and make the appropriate threats. I mean promises.
Tell them that I'm a protected radio people group, and that ought to get me on there.
That's exactly right.
So look, Curt Schilling, hometown hero up in Boston. I mean, the guy just was a beast in Major League Baseball, and really coming under fire for his recent comments. Did you see the Facebook posting?
I did.
What's your take on this?
Well, Curt Schilling, I think, has always been very, very open about the fact that he's a conservative, traditional American man, concerned about his family. And as I looked at that Facebook meme, he said, you know, I didn't make this. But the reality is that most of us who have daughters do not want fully grown men hanging out in locker rooms or bathrooms with them. And I don't see exactly where the hatred that's attributed to fathers comes from. I haven't heard anybody say, oh my gosh, these cross-dressing men should be attacked or beaten or denied rights. It's all about saying, you know, if you have a six-year-old daughter going into that locker room, by gosh, she ought to be around other females in the locker room.
And that really seems to be an argument that's getting lost. Well, it's really not even getting lost. It's an argument that's being rejected by the trans lobby and by the mainstream media and Hollywood. And I remember a couple of years ago, Jeff, there was an incident. I think this was one of the very first incidents involving these gender-neutral bathrooms, and it happened in Massachusetts at a school there.
Yep.
And I'll never forget interviewing a father who raised this issue to the school board. And he said, hey, look, I've got a daughter, and I don't want my daughter sharing a locker room or a bathroom with a boy.
Yeah.
And the school district said, look, here's the deal. This is the law of the land. You don't have a right to be offended, and your daughter doesn't have a right to complain. And if your daughter continues to complain, she's the one who's going to get in trouble.
Absolutely. And this has now taken root all over the country, Todd, as you know. And what is lost, as you rightly point out, are the concerns that those of us who are fathers have. And you know what? It's not just fathers. If you, you're a son and you think about your mom going to, I don't know, a YMCA or a community facility, doesn't she have the right to be in a locker room or a bathroom amongst other women? And I have to say again, I have yet to hear a single solitary person call for any sort of violence or demonstrate any degree of anger at these men or women who dress in a different way, or maybe they really do believe deep down in their core that they were born the wrong gender. But it is not about having that one person out of a crew of, I don't know, 1,000 people feel, quote, comfortable. I think it's more about the concern that we have about the vast majority of folks, primarily women, who would like to feel comfortable in their own space. Why isn't their concern concerning anybody?
And look, these are the same morons, the folks that are out there complaining about this. So these are the same folks in the sporting industry that were going after Phil Robertson from Duck Dynasty just a couple of weeks ago over the NASCAR prayer. So
right. So
now, if we are to believe ESPN and Sporting News and all these other organizations, the most pressing issues in America are trying to ban prayer at NASCAR games and accepting trans people in the ladies' room.
Well, my suggestion, I guess, is if you could have one of these transgender men deliver the prayer at the next NASCAR race, maybe we've got all of our bases covered.
An atheist or a Satanist.
That would work. And I'll tell you, Todd, in central Virginia, about an hour, 90 minutes away from Richmond, there's a big case which will be gathering, I promise you, a lot of attention. because it involves a girl who uses the name Gavin, and this girl dresses like a boy and claims that she is a boy. She has the ACLU advocating on her behalf. She has now gotten a victory of sorts from a federal appeals court about her desire to use the boys' locker room and the boys' restroom at Gloucester County High School. And I will tell you that over the last couple of years, that high school has gone, the administrators have gone out of their way to make this girl comfortable and safe. Initially, they said, look, you cannot use the boys' locker room or the boys' restroom because you're not a boy. But we have a faculty restroom. We have a gender-neutral bathroom. None of those were sufficient. And now this is a federal case, and the Circuit Court of Appeals also includes the state of North Carolina, the Fourth Circuit. So there's going to be a lot of fallout as this case makes its way through the system.
On the phone with us, Jeff Katz from radio station WRVA, the afternoon drive host there. Jeff, one of the things that when you go back to this Kurt Schilling post, first of all, he shared this item and then made a comment about it, and he got fired. Donald Trump gets to do the same thing, and he's going to be president.
It is a crazy world in which we live, Todd. You remember the old Chinese proverb that you should live in interesting times. These are some of the most interesting times ever. But you're right. Donald Trump is certainly making all sorts of comments, and many of them I think would be regarded by most rational people as being untoward. There's no problem. Again, Kurt Schilling shares a meme. I don't know how many times I've shared a meme or people I know have shared something on their Facebook page because they find it interesting or thought-provoking, or they agree with it or they disagree with it. But it's become clear that for Kurt Schilling, his ability to speak freely is severely limited inside that sporting world. But again, he's a proud conservative and a family man.
So you know, and I think the problems for Kurt Schilling did not start with the whole Little League thing where he, by the way, go back to what he got in trouble for comparing Muslims to Nazis.
Right.
And the whole complaint was, how could you compare what the Muslims are doing to Christians? How can you compare that to genocide? Well, now it officially is genocide.
Absolutely. There's been a war being waged against Christians. How many videos have we seen of these Islamic State terrorists, Muslim terrorists, beheading innocent people on the beach? In Iran, you have folks throwing gay people and transgendered people off of buildings. Nobody seems to be all that concerned about it. But
of course they don't. As a matter of fact, Jeff, they'll go after a state like North Carolina, PayPal, for example, or Disney down in Georgia, and they'll go after these states for trying to protect preachers and religious people from these LGBT activists. And yet these same folks are doing business in countries that execute gay people. It is the height of hypocrisy.
Absolutely. And you know, I've come to expect nothing less. The Hollywood nitwits, the best thing I think that Michael Moore ever promised to do was to not distribute his film in North Carolina. Made me think seriously about relocating to North Carolina. But they're playing concerts, as you point out, in countries where gay people are denied health care. They're willing to perform in countries where gay people are routinely executed. They have no problem with that. But North Carolina says, yep, we think that girls belong in the girls' restroom and boys belong in the boys' restroom. And the next thing you know, it's all sorts of nonsense.
And going back to the meme, if you believe that, they really do believe you are a narrow-minded, judgmental, unloving, racist bigot who needs to die. And you know, that image, I know a lot of people are saying, oh, that's an offensive image, the transgender supporters. Well, who are you to say that? Because I don't know if this guy is transgender or not. But that's not the point. I mean, there's something that they're teaching in schools now called gender fluidity. You wake up feeling like a boy, and by lunchtime you could be a girl. Are you saying that person doesn't deserve to use the bathroom of their choice? So again, when you look at what Kurt Schilling wrote, what he wrote was truth.
Yep. Yeah, it is this labeling of people who have never once engaged in any nasty or angry or bigoted or hateful comments. I have yet to see that. I have simply seen sons and fathers saying, we believe our moms, we believe our daughters should be able to get changed with a certain degree of privacy and comfort for them. That's all.
Jeff, our time here is coming to a close, but I want to ask you as a dad, you've got a daughter. I mean, what would you do if a guy walks into the bathroom and your daughter's in there?
I would be horrified. I would be absolutely horrified. And I don't think that on a personal basis that I'm a bad guy, because I think my 13-year-old daughter ought to be able to be in a locker room or a girl's bathroom and be amongst other females. I don't think that makes me a bad person, Todd.
And Jeff, as bad as that it's getting here, across the big pond, you're not going to believe this. They just opened up, or they're about to open up, a naked restaurant. Now, I kind of feel bad for the guy that's got to fry the bacon in that joint.
All I could tell you, Todd, is if I were forced to eat naked every day, my diet would be so much better and more intact. That's all I can think of.
Well, I just hope they scotch guard the booths there. This is why you need to eat at Chick-fil-A, people. Everybody's
That's
clothed.
Right.
Everybody's wearing pants.
It does give a whole new meaning to biscuits, though, doesn't it?
Just watch where you put the butter. Jeff Katz from WRVA in Richmond, Virginia. Jeff, we got to do this again.
I would love to do it anytime, my friend.
All right. Thanks a lot, Jeff.
Thank you, Ty.
Jeff Katz, great guy, folks. If you have a chance to listen to his talk show, it's just absolutely awesome. A very good friend of mine, and we appreciate him coming on the podcast. It's a very unusual time to be an American, people. You know, we've reached a point where choosing a bathroom based on your God-given plumbing somehow makes you a transphobic bigot. Jeez, Alou. It's like traditional values just got double flushed. So, last note on the Schilling controversy. I think he's learned a very important lesson that free speech, it comes with a price these days. And if you dare to speak out against the LGBT agenda, there will be a price to pay. Yes, indeed. You know, when it comes to paying a price, I can't help but think about Dr. Eric Walsh. I wrote about him in my column at toddstearns.com. Dr. Walsh was, back in 2014, was the public health director in Pasadena, California. He's also a lay minister of the Seventh-day Adventist faith. Anyway, Dr. Walsh had been invited to deliver a commencement address at Pasadena City College. Now, there had been some controversy there because a gay rights speaker had been rejected, had been turned away. And so the replacement was Dr. Walsh. Well, a lot of the students were still very upset, very angry that the first choice, the first speaker, had been rejected. And so they started investigating Dr. Walsh, and they found out that he posted a lot of his sermons online on YouTube. And they started watching these sermons, and they very quickly discovered that he is against gay marriage and he believes that homosexuality is a sin. You know, basically what most of the mainline religious denominations believe here in America. It became such a controversy that that Dr. Walsh, not only did he remove himself from the speaking engagement, but he was forced to resign from his job. Again, not because of anything he did on the job. Not a single thing. He was a great doctor. But because of all of this controversy, because of what he was preaching from the pulpit, he had to step down. Well, anyway, we're going to sort of fast forward through this because we have a guest that's going to give us the inside scoop here. But he reached a settlement agreement with the city of Pasadena. And while all this was going on, he had already applied for a position in Georgia with their health department, and he had been offered and accepted a job. But something very strange happened. Just before he was to move to Georgia, the Department of Public Health there began investigating Dr. Walsh's sermons. And a few days later, they actually rescinded the job offer. They fired him. Not because of anything to do with his professional career as a doctor, but because of what he preached in the pulpit. So joining us on the line now is Pastor Walsh's, or Dr. Walsh, I guess Pastor Dr. Walsh, his attorney can help us figure that out as well. Jeremy Dice from First Liberty, one of the top law firms handling religious liberty cases in the country. Jeremy, thanks for joining us on today's podcast. And I got to tell you something, this is a pretty egregious thing that's happened to Dr. Walsh.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, when the state of Georgia hired Dr. Walsh to be one of their district health directors and then went line by line through one of his sermons, or multiple of his sermons, rather, they fired him. It should send chills down the spine of every freedom-loving American that state officials have gone line by line through someone's sermons to find a way to fire him.
So let's go back and tell this story. It started back in 2014, and I think everybody's probably heard of Dr. Walsh because of a situation at Pasadena City College. Now, at the time, he was their director of public health. Tell us what happened there at Pasadena City College.
Yeah, he was invited to give the commencement speech, and some students there did not like his choice. They favored somebody else of coming in and giving that commencement speech. And so it started with some students going and looking through, combing through Dr. Walsh's sermons and picking and choosing certain points out of there to rip out of context and really to take down Dr. Walsh. It worked, and thankfully at the same time he had been interviewing with and was ultimately hired by the state of Georgia to move his family across the country there to be a director of public health. And lo and behold, what the students began, the state of Georgia finished. They went through line by line of his sermons, asked him for those sermons, found a couple on their own, and after they spent several hours combing through his sermons, they fired Dr. Walsh. But no one in this country should ever be fired from their job over something that was said not only in their church, but in their sermon.
So I just want to be clear, Jeremy, that the doctor, he had an impeccable record on the job.
Yeah, look, there's nothing he said at work or did at work that got him fired. It was something, he was fired for something he said in a sermon. Now think about that, Todd. This is not some egregious action that he's taken at work. He hasn't been doing anything wrong. He was eminently qualified. In fact, he served two different presidents on the Presidential Advisory Council on HIV and AIDS. He was an eminently qualified director of public health. Nothing he did at work got him fired. He was fired for something he said in a sermon.
You know, I was having this conversation with a colleague about Dr. Walsh, and he happens to be a Seventh-day Adventist minister, and this person happens to be a member of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. Now I'm Southern Baptist, and you know, I'm not sure what religion you are, Jeremy, but I suspect that all of our religions have different belief systems, and some people might think those are crazy or out of left field or something. And that's all fine. That's all well and good. But I think the fact of the matter here is it doesn't matter what this man was preaching. It's nobody's business. It wasn't impacting his day job.
Yeah, and everybody who is not a pastor ought to pay very close attention to this as well. If the government can fire Dr. Walsh over the content of his sermons, if they can come after any of us for any of our beliefs on anything. I mean, I guess now your sermon notes, your Sunday school lesson to the kindergarten class in your church or your synagogue, that is now fair game for the annual review. How would you like it if you had to submit your sermon notes or your Sunday school lesson to your boss when you come up on your annual review next year? No one in this country should be fired for something they say in a church or in a sermon. In fact, it is blatantly illegal to take into consideration someone's religion in making employment decisions, and certainly when you fire someone like Dr. Walsh because of something he said in a sermon.
We're talking with Jeremy Dice from First Liberty. This is the law firm representing Dr. Walsh. Jeremy, I want to ask you about some of the particulars here. We've reached out to the Department of Public Health in Georgia. They're not talking to us, but back when they rescinded, and they're saying they rescinded or retracted the job offer, they're saying, almost implying that there really wasn't a He hadn't been hired yet. He had just been offered the job. What do you say to that?
Well, it's kind of funny that they would say that, because we have an email I'm looking at right now from their director of human resources at the Department of Public Health. It's published on May 7th of 2014 and sent at 4:40 p.m. to everybody, including the director of public health in Georgia. And he says, quote, he being Dr. Walsh, he has accepted the position and will begin work on June 16, 2014. Unquote. You know, Todd, if I'm running a McDonald's over here and I say, Todd, I want to hire you, you say, great, I accept that position. I say, good, you'll begin work on April 22nd. I think everybody in the world understands that to mean that you've been hired. And so thereafter, for them to fire him simply for something that he said in a sermon is blatantly illegal. I can't get over this picture in my head of state officials literally divvying up sermons from an associate pastor, and then deciding which state official will review which sermon in order to fire an employee. I mean, that ought to just send chill bumps down every person, every freedom-loving American's spine.
It's simply outrageous. Simply outrageous. And I know that you guys haven't made a big deal about the content here and what people are really going after. But folks, when you go back to what happened at the college where he was simply invited to deliver a commencement address, he came under fire because LGBT activists were upset because a pro-gay speaker had been turned away. And that's what launched this witch hunt into his sermons. And Jeremy, when you look at the people who complained about the doctor getting the job in Georgia, there were LGBT groups, LGBT health organizations that went public with their opposition to Dr. Walsh. And I have to believe that that played a significant role in his dismissal.
I guess that college just wasn't a safe space for Dr. Walsh. You know, he had served on the President's Advisory Council for HIV/AIDS. He started one of the very first dental clinics in the state of California that provided no-cost and low-cost medical procedures, including dental clinic efforts, for HIV patients in the state of California, in Pasadena itself. Here's a man who worked with several people from various different backgrounds, including the LGBT community, and still they find a way in Georgia to go line by line in his sermons and look for a way to terminate him. Look, Dr. Walsh preached from Genesis to Revelation. He preached about how to follow God, how to serve the poor, how to care for one another, how to live your life in a very different culture that we find ourselves in today according to the scriptures that the Seventh-day Adventists hold to. But yet we have government officials looking line by line in these sermons. You know, we've got one email that indicates they had about 10 hours worth of sermons that they had found on their own, and everybody from the chief operating officer down to an administrative assistant, there were about four or five different people. They divided those sermons up and said, look, if we take the time to review these, we'll know what we're getting here. I mean, just think about that. On state time, using state computers, you've got multiple state officials combing through the sermons of an employee. They weren't looking at his qualifications, having advised two different presidential administrations. They didn't look at his medical degree. They certainly didn't look at his doctorate in public health. And they had certainly forgotten about the fact that they'd gone through three separate rounds of interviews with this person and even lobbied the director of public health to find more money to hire this guy because he was such a good catch. They just simply wanted to find something in his sermons that they could justify terminating him. Unfortunately for the Department of Public Health in Georgia, they have now violated Title VII of the Civil Rights Act of 1964. They have fired him on the basis of his religion, and that is illegal. And we're going to apply the law to the state of Georgia for this.
So you guys are going after these folks.
Absolutely. No one should be fired in America from their job for something they said in a sermon. This is a very important case, because if they can fire Dr. Walsh for something he said in a sermon, you know, nothing that we believe, nothing that any individual worker in America believes is safe anymore.
Jeremy, I'm sure there are other people that are going to be listening. Maybe they have friends or they know of someone in their community who's going through something similar to this, their religious liberty coming under attack. Where can they reach out to you guys?
I really hope they'll go to firstliberty.org. You should go to firstliberty.org/Walsh and just read up on Dr. Walsh's case in particular. But there are many resources at firstliberty.org for you to review, especially if you wonder if an illegal action has been taken against you because of your religion at work. You don't lose your religious liberty when you go to work. The First Amendment is not put aside just because you went into the corner office. The Constitution is still good law, even at your place of employment. And the Civil Rights Act of 1964, in particular Title VII, was put into place to prevent discrimination based upon individuals' religious beliefs. Here, the state of Georgia has fired Dr. Walsh, an eminently qualified professional, simply because of something he said as an associate pastor in a sermon. That is wrong.
Jeremy Dice from First Liberty. FirstLiberty.org is the website for more information. Jeremy, thank you very much.
Hey, my pleasure, Todd.
I know this has been a pretty heavy podcast, but every now and again, we have to talk about issues that are very important to our nation. And I want you to understand this transgender issue is going to be a defining moment, another defining moment in American history. And that's why you need to be informed, because this impacts your family. Last podcast, we had some folks that that won some prizes. Remember, we've been telling people about, you know, if you leave a comment, if you leave a review, we're going to pull your name out of the hat and we're going to send you a book. We'll send you a T-shirt. We have some amazing I'm a gun-toting, Bible-clinging, Constitution-loving American T-shirts. They're pretty awesome. They drive liberals nuts. And so anyway, we have some of those to give away, and we actually have some winners, and I promised I would announce the winners on this podcast. So here we go. The winners of our books and our T-shirts for this podcast, Steve Wozni, who's listening to us in Chesterfield, Virginia, Alfonso Lombardo from Killeen, Texas, and by the way, my commentaries air on an amazing radio station there in Killeen, Michael Cookson of Howard, Kansas, and Janet Scruggs of Sunray, Texas. Mighty warm down in Sunray these days. So congratulations, guys. You will be getting a prize package in the mail from me. And in our next podcast, we're going to have more winners. So all you need to do, all you got to do, is real simple, is just go into iTunes and leave us a review and give us a rating, and we will select your name from our list of winners. All right, folks. Look, hope you have a great, great day. I'm off to the state of Iowa. I'm going to be giving a speech to a lot of broadcasters out there in Waterloo, Iowa. So if any of you folks are out there, be sure to drop by and say howdy. I'm Todd Starnes.